Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ENCE 2015 full year results presentation. Ignacio Colmenares, CEO of the company, and Alfredo Avello, CFO of the company, will conduct the presentation. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our full year 2015 results conference call. I'm here today with our CFO, Alfredo Avello, and our IR team, Alberto Valdés and Rocío Recio. First, we will go through the presentation we have sent to you this morning. If you have not yet received it, you may download it from our corporate website. We will be pleased to answer any questions you may have. Let's start with slide number three, which highlights the most important achievements of the year. The results and landmarks presented today show how ENCE is already progressing in the delivery of its commitments. First of all, and as we have already announced, the Pontevedra concession has been extended for a further 60 years. This removes all uncertainties over the continuation of this important pillar of ENCE. In terms of P&L and cash flow generation, our adjusted EBITDA reached our objective of 200 million euros, and we have generated 110 million euros of recurrent free cash flow. Regarding the company's efficiency, our cash cost continues its downward trend to 355 euros per ton in the fourth quarter. 2015 also marked an important achievement in ENCE's future financial stability. We have restructured our debt and ring-fenced the different businesses we operate to reduce risks and increase transparency, financial flexibility, and long-term stability. Moving on to our dividend policy, we maintain our commitment to our shareholders. We will propose a cash dividend of 36 million euros, including the interim dividend, to the next AGM to distribute 72% of 2015 results. In terms of business revenues, we still believe that the fundamentals of the pulp market are solid on the grounds of current and foreseeable demand and available supply. Although the pulp price has suffered during the turmoil we are seeing in the commodities market today, it has suffered much less than the average. Finally, we are fully committed to the strategic plan 2016-2020 presented last November. As a first step, ENCE has been awarded with 40 MW biomass power generation capacity in Spain at the last renewable energy auction. Now, let's move to slide four. The Ministry of Agriculture and Environment has granted ENCE the extension of the concession of its pulp mill in Pontevedra. The extension has been granted for 60 years, 10 more than the 50 years initially foreseen. We have announced an investment plan of 61 million euros at the facility, which was included in the CapEx numbers we announced in our Investor Day. This investment plan has the objective of achieving the same production cost in Pontevedra as in Navia. We will also announce during the following months other investments in Pontevedra and other areas in the region with a focus on R&D and biomass, which are already included in the strategic plan. With respect to the 40 MW biomass plant awarded, the location of the installation site has still to be decided between Huelva, Mérida and Pontevedra. We will build the plant in the place that offers the greatest synergy with our industrial activities and where fuel costs are the lowest. Moving to slide number five, let me show you the main target attained in terms of results. We have reached 200 million euros in adjusted EBITDA for 2015, fueled by the 59 million euros obtained in the last quarter. This breakthrough was made possible by strong worldwide demand, a favorable exchange rate, and the successful execution of our competitiveness recovery plan. Let's now go to slide number six. We are generating a strong recurrent free cash flow of €110 million. We have compensated the €22 million refinancing cost with €32 million of divestments to increase the duration and to improve the conditions of our corporate debt and project finances. This important cash generation has allowed us to reduce group net debt to €241 million after spending €29 million in expansion capex, mainly in efficiency gains and pulp capacity increases, and €36 million in dividend payment. Let's move on to slide 7, where we show the significant decrease in our cash cost. Now that the Pontevedra concession has been extended, we are resuming investments in order to continue to drive cash costs down. In December, we have already achieved €353 per ton. We will achieve an average of €344 per ton in 2016 and €339 per ton in 2017. In Navia, we achieved a cash cost of €326 per ton in December. Our main objective now is to achieve a similar cash cost in Pontevedra. In slide 8, you can observe the stability and strong evolution of pulp prices during 2015 compared to other commodities. In an especially difficult year for the rest of commodities, pulp has showed resilience on the back of an increasingly important Asian middle class, whose consumption grows faster than increases in pulp production. The relative stability of pulp prices has coupled with a favorable exchange rate, as you can see in slide number 9. Recently, pulp prices have been affected slightly by the turmoil in equity and commodity markets, but I strongly believe that expectations for the market are good. The price of long fiber has started to rise again, and we think that the price of short fiber will rise too. ENCE will continue its forest active management to reduce the currency risk of the company. We have covered 50% of our exposure for the next 18 months with a tunnel between 107 and 115. So, we will benefit from this attractive exchange rate for this period. Let's move on to slide number 10, where I would like to stress the balanced supply-demand structure of the pulp market. As you can see in the picture below, on the left of the slide, the increase in supply has tended to offset the increase in demand during the last 5 years, with a compound annual growth rate of 1.3%. This has maintained pulp prices within a relatively narrow price range. I would like to remind you of the drivers of demand and pulp prices. Firstly, there is no pulp overcapacity in China. The demand for tissue and premium packaging is still growing in Asia, despite the recent deceleration of industrial growth. Demand growth will be followed by investments, but it will be a gradual process. Investors in pulp factories come from within the industry, who select the size and timing of the projects with care. Financial conditions in emerging markets have worsened significantly. This will clearly affect new investments in the region. 50% of the European pulp market is still long fiber. 80%, 80, of long fiber can be substituted by eucalyptus fiber, which is much more competitive. Finally, there is a solid demand for eucalyptus pulp related to the growth of tissue consumption, premium packaging and specialties, not only in Asia, but also in the West. My conclusion is that, though prices have been affected slightly in the short term, the drivers of future growth remain. Having looked at the revenue fundamentals, let's move on to slide number 11. In the context of the European pulp markets, you can see the cost structure of ENCE compared to competitors servicing the same market. Our cash cost is more competitive than that of Nordics. ENCE maintains a sustainable competitive advantage over them due to our cash cost structure. And we keep working to increase efficiencies in order to reduce further the current cash cost. Let me also remind you that 80% of products manufactured with long fiber can be done with short fiber. Latin American pulp producers are enjoying a temporary advantage due to their currencies, especially after the devaluation of the real. However, our freight rate to Amsterdam is below 15 euros per ton, whereas theirs is more than 45 euros per ton. Furthermore, our lead time is 1 week, whereas their lead time is more than 40 days. Our structural competitive advantage in Europe is 30 euros in freight rates and 30 days in lead time against our Latin American competitors. On page number 12, and moving on to the balance sheet management, we would like to remind you of the successful debt restructuring and business ring fence which we accomplished in the last quarter of 2015. This financial operation enabled us to reduce our financial costs for the future, to extend the duration of our debt, and to separate the financial risks of the two businesses. The split of the two businesses allows them to grow with different leverage policies. To finalize this part of presentation, I would like to stress our attractive shareholder remuneration policy, which amounts to 144 cents per share. This will not compromise our future growth capacity, nor stretch our balance sheet. Now, I would like to let our CFO explain our business results in more detail. Alfredo.
Thank you, Ignacio. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start the review of our 2015 results in slide 16. 200 million euros of adjusted EBITDA target has been delivered as announced, increasing our margin up to 33%. However, our net income has not only been influenced by the positive pulp price and US dollar exchange rate environment. Our asset disposal program has positively contributed with almost 12 million euros to our results. From an accounting point of view, these extraordinary profits are recorded below EBITDA level, but fully offset our 8 million euro figure related to provisions, another non-recurrent recorded between adjusted EBITDA and EBITDA. We expect similar contribution of our asset disposal program for 2016. Also, ENCE has recorded 40 million euros of one-off expenses related to the project and bond refinancing process, without which our net profit would have been much higher. Without this impact, our 2016 net income should be better. On slide 16, we are showing our P&L separated by our two businesses, pulp and energy. Differences in columns between both businesses and the consolidated figures are due to consolidation adjustments. The reason of these adjustments are the intercompany relations that should be reduced during 2016 following the corporate restructuring process implemented along the year. However, certain inter-business relations should be maintained in the future, mainly those related to having one only energy market agent for the group, being this one the holding company, that will act for both cogeneration and generation facilities. Biomass sales from our plantations within the pulp business to the energy business, and all those related to G&A allocations. Coming down specifically to the pulp business in slide 17, our northern mill sales have increased by 19% up to 570 million euros, boosted by the exchange rate and prices, both at the pulp and electricity level, as well as higher production rates, even though Navia had a longer than usual maintenance stoppage due to the implementation of the efficiency and capacity increase measures. Turning into page 18, our pulp business adjusted EBITDA in 2015 accounts for 85% of the total one of the company and has increased by 5 times year-on-year, also supported by a very positive execution of our recovery plan. As previously expressed in slide 5 by our CEO, this plan has contributed with €43 million to our EBITDA during 2015. This positive contribution will increase during 2016 as a result of the ongoing implementation of our evergreen cash cost reduction process. Regarding our energy business, and following now with slide 19, production sold to the grid increased by 39% in 2015 due to the contribution of the Mérida and Huelva plants. In the case of revenues, those have increased even further, up to 66% year-on-year, pushed by higher electricity prices in 2015, which were 19% higher than in 2014. Let us not forget that ENCE follows a very stringent financial and risk policy. Being the consequence of it, the implementation of adequate structures to reduce market volatility and reduce risks. Following this principle, as you may know, the company has implemented a hedging program over pool prices, currently accounting for 75% of the total production of the first quarter 2016 and 24% of the second and third quarters at a weighted average of almost €47 per megawatt hour. As shown in slide 20, all this positive performance has been translated into a 41% increase of the adjusted EBITDA for our energy business, up to €31 million, also supported by higher average incomes of €158 per megawatt hour compared to those in 2014. Going on to slide 21, and also as mentioned by our CEO, all these good results of both of our businesses have generated a recurring free cash flow of €110 million, ending into a net debt reduction of €43 million. Just to remind that in the case of our pulp business, net debt for 2015 is heavily impacted by the bond refinancing costs, net capex, and dividends paid within the year. Again, following our stringent financial policy, it is our aim to maintain high liquidity positions to ensure the sustainability of the operations in the long run, no matter the pace of the cycle we could be in. Those liquidity positions are adjusted and monitored per business, taking into account the specific profile of each of them, as well as its strategic business plan, attaining at the end of 2015 a total availability of €259 million, of which 193 are in the pulp business. Our financial structure follows the same conservative long-term profile, especially after last year's refinancing process. Let me please end on slide 22, updating you on the asset disposal program. Out of the initial book value of €78 million at year-end 2014, assets with a total book value of €20 million have been sold and cashed for €32 million, with a positive impact of €12 million in our P&L. These were the real estate assets and part of our energy crops. Speed for disposal of these assets is only subject to maximizing its selling price. Equipment for €2 million has been reclassified to be used in our other mills, and we have reduced the book value of the industrial assets from Huelva related to the combined cycle by €6 million, since we do not see the demand as strong as we initially envisioned. Summarizing, we still have assets with a book value of €50 million under our disposal program, of which 24 are energy crops and 26 are industrial assets from Huelva, including pulp and combined cycle related. Since the beginning of the year, the company has entered into additional promissory contracts related to energy crops for a total consideration of 2.4 million euros. Also, the pulp industrial assets are currently under negotiation at book value levels. The management of the company keeps its focus in the execution of this plan and expects similar positive impacts in 2016 as those of last year. Let me please now pass back the lead of the presentation to our CEO to continue.
Thank you, Alfredo. Slide 24 shows the main figures of our strategic plan, which was originally presented during our Investor Day. In a conservative scenario of pulp price of $720 per ton and $1.25 per euro, we would have made 111 million euros EBITDA in 2015. And our target in this conservative scenario will be almost to double this quantity in 2020 to 209 million euros. In a price and FX market similar to the one in 2015, our EBITDA will go from 200 million euros to 368 million euros in 2020. Therefore, our strategic plan will allow ENCE to increase EBITDA by between 90 and 168 million euros, depending on pulp prices and exchange rates. This plan requires the investment we detailed back in November. Slide number 25. Our investments in the pulp business will total 337 million euros. In Navia, we will invest 164 million euros. In Pontevedra, we will invest 99 million euros. We will decide when to invest a further 74 million euros to replicate Navia's model in Pontevedra with a new biomass plant which will burn eucalyptus harvesting residues. In any case, we will be very strict in our intention not to have more than 2.5 times net debt EBITDA in this business. We will start the development of a new plant of 40 megawatts in Spain. The final decision on its location is still pending. It will be located where we can obtain the best return. And finally, to conclude, let me remind you of the main highlights of our 2015 results. The Pontevedra concession has been extended for a further 60 years. Our adjusted EBITDA reached our objective of 200 million euros, and we have generated 110 million euros of recurrent free cash flow. Regarding the company's efficiency, our cash cost continues its downward trend to 355 euros per ton in the fourth quarter, from a figure of 406 euros per ton in 2014. This is the result of a remarkable effort by the company, which will continue. We have restructured our debt and ring-fenced the different businesses. We will keep our commitment to our shareholders and will propose a cash dividend at the next AGM of 36 million euros. We still believe that the fundamentals of the pulp market are strong on the grounds of current and foreseeable demand and supply. And finally, the company is fully committed to the strategic plan 2016-2020, which we presented last November. ENCE has been awarded 40 megawatt biomass power generation capacity in Spain, which will start our investments in the energy business. Moreover, we are executing the second phase of the investment to increase capacity in Navia by 40,000 tons. We are now beginning to contract new projects in Pontevedra to reduce its cash cost to similar levels to those in Navia. And we are working on the reduction of our cash costs to an average of €344 per ton this year. Thank you very much. We are now open to your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Once again, to ask a question, please press 01. The first question is from Bruno Bessa, BPI.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions from my side. The first one, just if you could provide a little bit more color on the fundamentals of the industry and trying to justify a little bit more the recent drop in pulp prices. It is only related with mere conditions from the equity markets, or it is somewhat related with the fundamentals in the industry and with the capacity increases that took place in 2015. And what should change in 2016 for prices to be sustainable or even increase, considering your positive view on the industry at this stage? Also related with this question, I believe that you've mentioned that the difficult macro backdrop in emerging markets could prevent further capacity increases in those markets. My question is if you believe that the already announced capacity increases in Brazil, namely in Brazil, could be at risk at this stage. Also, the last question related with your EBITDA target. My question is, what could be your target in terms of EBITDA for 2016 based on the current currency which we have in the market? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bruno. Pulp prices, as you know, have not been completely isolated from the turmoil on the CapEx commodities market. But you can observe the stability and strong evolution of the pulp price during 2015 compared to the rest of commodities. And what happened in 2015, it's important to understand what's going to happen in 2016. In an especially difficult year, last year, pulp has showed resilience on the back of an increasingly important Chinese and Asian middle class whose consumption grows faster than production increases. And we think this will be the case in the future. On the short future, during 2016 and on the years after. The new capacity additions are limited. And what is very important, any capacity additions will be launched by the industry with care. Our competitors are clever companies and they will not create deliberately overcapacities. Economic growth and an increase in the quality of life will increase demand in the future, also in 2016. Pulp is a consumption commodity, not a capex commodity, with a stable supply and demand balance. We see no reason to be concerned about prices in the medium term. Average prices in 2016 may be very similar to the ones in 2015, where we had an average price, as you remember, of €784 per ton. There is no overcapacity in this industry because there is no pulp overcapacity in China. And it is not the case in other commodities like steel. Demand growth will be followed by investments. But it will be a gradual process, lit by the industry. Investors in pulp factories come from the industry, so they carefully select the size and the timing of the projects. Financial conditions in emerging markets have worsened significantly. These will clearly affect new investments in the region. We don't see two projects at the same time in Brazil. 50% of the European pulp market is still long fiber. And remember that 80% of the long fiber products can be substituted by eucalyptus fiber, which is, as you know, much more competitive. There is solid demand for eucalyptus pulp related to growth of tissue consumption, not only in Asia, but also in Western countries, southern part of Europe and Eastern Europe. Prices have been slightly affected in the short term, but we think the scenario should remain stable. Regarding your second question, obviously, our EBITDA and free cash flow depends on average pulp prices and exchange rates along the year. But assuming average pulp prices not far away from those registered in 2015 and exchange rates close to the current ones of today, it could be reasonable to expect an EBITDA for the full year in the range of 180 to 200 million euros and a recurring cash flow of over 100 million euros. Thank you, Bruno.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Nuno Estacio, Heitenbank.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. First question is regarding the 40 megawatt biomass plant, which you were mentioning you could go ahead and do it. In the auction, you got quite a low price at the pool. Do you think it's reasonable to make a new mill at current prices, and how could you manage to improve the profitability on that plant? The second one is if you could help us understand the sales volume growth that you are predicting for 2016, because you are increasing capacity by mid-year, and how much do you expect to produce, especially in the Navia mill? Third point on if you could explain again the wood cost mechanism and if there is the drop in pulp prices being reflected in the wood, if this is by points or if it's in ranges, how will you benefit potentially from that in 2016? And a final question on cash flow. How much do you still expect in disposals for 16, and if there are any payments related to the Huelva shutdown that still need to be made in 2016? Thank you.
Well, that's many questions, Nuno. Let's start by the first question. We have published our required returns for the different investments envisaged in our strategic plan. In this case, in biomass, it's a 10% equity return, and we think we can achieve it in those sites we are considering, especially where we can benefit from synergies. We think it is absolutely impossible at the current tariff to build a new biomass power plant on a location with no synergies. But we have Huelva, Mérida, and Pontevedra, where already a large part of the investment is already done. The wood yard is already invested, all the reception of wood is already invested, and all the energy output is already invested. And where we have a strong knowledge of the biomass and of the wood market, and where we think we can make these 10% IRR we want. If by 30th of March we are not sure that we will make this 10% IRR, we will not renew the grants of this biomass power plant. Regarding your question about Navia, if I have understood, you were asking about what is the volume we are planning for this year. It's 520,000 tons, which is a bit more than last year. Not taking into account this stoppage of 12 days we had in December because of this accident. Going to your third question, the cost of the wood and our capacity to reduce cost if the prices of the pulp go down, well, you just have to go to our website where you have the prices of the wood, and if you remember, we have a portion of the price of the wood linked to the the peak price, and every 50 euros the PIX moves up or down, we increase or reduce 1 euros per ton. That means that today we have a movement, if the prices of the pulp continue going down, to reduce the price of the wood. But we think the price of the pulp will not continue going down. And you asked me the fourth question, was regarding what we have to pay of Huelva, and do you remember the figure?
Well, we still have some 9.7
million euros to be paid during 2016 out of all the provisions we made in Huelva in 2014.
And the cash in from sale of assets, do you expect 50 million in 2016?
No, we expect a cash in around 32-33 million euros, something very similar to what we made last year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Nuno.
Thank you. The next question is from Bartek Bass from Schroders.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to go back to the first question that the gentleman asked. On your page 10, you're showing capacity additions in Klabin, ABP, etc. To your knowledge, are these still happening, or will some of that be, you know, delayed or postponed?
I have no information about that. No more than you.
Okay. And also on the sort of capacity question, you obviously remain very confident that pulp prices will sort of floor around current levels and possibly go up. But if your spread to softwood pulp is only $20-something at the moment, that should probably mean more pressure on the hardwood pulp to increase spread to whatever it was historically, more like $100-$150. So if any more comments on that would be interesting, because I can't imagine if a lot of the product is so substitutable, then your pulp price should be going down further, basically, based on what's happening in the softwood pulp, and there is overcapacity in softwood pulp.
Yeah, softwood pulp prices have started to go up, as you know, 3 weeks ago. Some announcements were made in Canada and the States. Some announcements were made for China. And, what is happening is that the situation in softwood is good today. They are able to increase prices. And we are pretty sure that after the end of the holidays in China for the new year, Chinese market is going to be there again for Latin Americans. And I strongly believe prices have stopped to drop. And as you know, prices are never stable. If they don't drop, they go up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next
thank
question,
you.
Please.
The next question is from Chris Ellis, Babson Capital.
Hi, good afternoon. A couple of questions, please. Cash flow in the quarter was plus 30 million, but the pulp business cash was flat. Can you explain why that was? On the 40 million biomass plant, can you just talk about how this is going to be funded? Presumably this will be project finance. And then finally, on the recent drop we've seen in pulp prices, is that any way correlated to a fall in demand in China, or has demand in China stayed constant over the last few months? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. I will start by the last question. We just had last Friday the official figures from China, and what is very surprising is that the purchases of China to the rest of the world have been stable at the same level in October, November, and December, and with the same increase if you compare that to the last quarter last year. We have asked for more specific information, and what we have discovered is that in November and December, China has been buying more to Chile and less to Brazil. And that is what we know. We still don't have figures from China related to January. But according to the information we have, because as you know, we are not selling in China, according to the information we have, China has been out of the market on the last week, and they are coming today. Regarding your second question, the 40 megawatt biomass power plant, I would like to insist that if we are not pretty sure we are going to make this 10% IRR on equity, we will not start this new investment, and we have decided that we will know that before March the 30th. Second is that we foresee an investment on the range of 75 to 80 million euros. We are going to do that with an EPC, a normal European EPC contract with all the normal guarantees on the performance of the biomass power plant. We don't want any risk, nor on construction, nor technical. And we are going to finance that, those 70 to 80 million euros, 30 to 40% with our equity, and the money is already there on this energy business unit to do that, and the balance with project finance, and we have banks as asking already now about this business because they are very much interested. Then as soon as we know the location, and the location is going to be the location with the best industrial synergies in terms of CapEx and OpEx, and with the best available and competitive fuel, we will start with that. And Alfredo will answer you the first question.
Regarding the first quarter, the only impact that we had, the only relevant impact factor affecting our pole operations has been the breakdown at one of the bleaching towers of our Navia mill during the first half of December, as we announced through RISI. This stoppage caused a production loss of around 12,000 tons. That's the main impact on the P&L production and therefore in the cash flow.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
Thank you. The next question is from Marco Cossinga, Intermonte.
Thank you, and good evening. My question is on the indication you provided for the EBITDA this year between 180 and 200 million, which, if I understood correctly, is based on the assumption that the pulp price will be at the same level of last year, and also the US dollar exchange rate. So if this is the case, I don't understand why it should be lower, given that the volume will be higher and the cash cost will be lower. Maybe you can just clarify this point.
Yes, thank you very much for your question. I said that we see an EBITDA on the range between 180 and 200 million euros and the recurrent free cash flow for this year over 100 million euros with an average price similar to the one of last year, 780, then no change on that. An average discount of 22.5 to 23%, there is between 1 and 1.5 more of discount, and an average on the exchange rate similar to the one of today, 112, 113. And with that, and with the production we are planning, and the cash cost of 344, we see this EBITDA.
Okay, but the only assumption which is worse than last year, somewhat worse, is the discount. Because if we assume the same price in US dollar, the same exchange rate, but you should benefit from higher volume and lower cash cost. So I wonder why the indication should be lower and not higher than 2015.
Well, you are Italian. You seem to be German. I said between 180 and 200. And 200 is a part of 200. Okay?
Okay. Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a further question from Chris Ellis, Babson Capital.
Sorry, I just wanted to follow up on your answers. So did we say October, November, and December in China we saw plus 10% higher year-on-year for each of those months? And then secondly, on the cash flow, there's 24 million of
disposal proceeds from Huelva, does that mean that those proceeds have gone into the energy business rather than staying within the pulp business, and that's why pulp cash is flat?
Yeah, I don't remember now exactly the increase over last year of the sales, the purchase in China in November and December. We will send you an email, because now I don't remember if it is 10, 8 or 9, and I don't want to make a mistake. Alfredo, do you have the answer for the second question? No, he's asking the proceeds of what we sold in Huelva on the last at the end of the year. Where is this money? On the pulp business or on the energy business?
Okay, no,
it's on the pulp business.
This money is on the pulp business under the current bond structure. We have the ability, if needed, to transfer it to the energy business. But if needed, right now all that cash is in the pulp business.
And we don't see any reason today to move it from the pulp to the energy business.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Jose Arthur, Amber. Hello, your line is now open.
Hi, Jose.
Okay, we seem to have, once again, your line is now open. Your line is unmuted. Could you please activate your microphone? Okay, then we'll move on to the next question from Luis de Toledo.
Yes, William. Just a question from my side. It's regarding the energy investments, the international energy investments. I don't know if you have any progress to report. We know the future investments are well in 2-3 years' time. But among the places you were studying, Chile, Colombia, India, I don't know if you have, when should we expect a decision or some kind of milestone between those three chances?
Yeah, well, I would like to point out that our preferred investment area is in Spain, and as we have been awarded with this 40-megawatt biomass power plant, we will start by Spain. Mm-hmm. Regarding Chile, we are on a close negotiations with a company who has a different portfolio of projects in Chile, and if this company goes to the tender of energy, which is going to be before summer, and wins a certain amount of megawatts at a certain amount of price, we will be interested in acquiring those projects and starting in the country. We are seeing something between 30 and 70 megawatts to be done on several years. Then it's not a huge investment. And presently, we are doing a strong due diligence of the supply of forest waste and agri-waste on the country in the area where those projects can be done. Regarding India, we are not going to start by the electrical investment, but by the biomass control. Then today, we are on due diligence with a small company doing trading of biomass in two states at north and northwest of New Delhi, and it's a limited investment of $2 to $3 million on the year. We are going to start trying to control the biomass supply much more before starting in investing on a biomass power plant. And on the two countries, we have in Chile, we have already hired an investment bank to find a local investor, you know, to co-invest with us with 30 to 40%. And in India, we are still trying to find a bank, you know, to help us to do that.
Okay.
Then, as a resume, Spain, this 40-megawatt biomass power plant, Chile, something can happen after summer. If the target wins some megawatt on this tender in summer, and India, very limited capex this year on a small company controlling biomass in two states.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have again Jose with us on the line.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, absolutely.
Apologies for the bad line. My first question is if you can give us an estimate on the impact that the Navia accident had on your cash cost during the fourth quarter. My second question would be if you can provide us the year average cash cost for Navia and Pontevedra, and as you very kindly provided in your presentation, the December number for the group, if you can also give us the number for Navia and Pontevedra. My following question is on working capital. I think I've read somewhere in your press release that your working capital was affected by 30 million from the settlement from the CNMC on your power business. If you can give us an indication on when you think the situation would normalize, and if you would expect a similar working capital consumption on the year, on this year, 2016, or if it was a one-off and you should collect that cash and we should expect flat performance thereafter. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jose. I will start with the first, sorry, for the, by the last question. We have these 28 million euros of investment in CapEx in energy, as you were asking. That amount, well, the 33 million euros, that amount corresponds to the tariff deficit financing together with pending receivables from our independent biomass power plants, the latter accounting for 28 million euros out of the 33. Let me recall you that initially the Ministry of Industry classified incorrectly the biomass power plants of Pontevedra 34 megawatts, Navia 37 megawatts, and Huelva 41 megawatts, including them in the wrong category. ENCE made the corresponding filings in order to regularize such classification. During 2015, the filings corresponding to Pontevedra and Navia facilities were approved on the corresponding past due to debt collected. Likewise, we expect a favorable resolution for the Huelva 41 megawatt plant along 2016, when these past due debts should be released. Regarding your second question about Navia and Pontevedra, you were asking about cash cost last year or for 2016?
I was asking if you can give us the average for the year and how did they end in December, because in the presentation you provided a number for the group for December. So if you can give us average Navia in 2015, average Pontevedra in 2015, and what was the number for both plants in December as you provided for the group in the presentation. And along this, I was also asking if you can help us to quantify what the impact on your cash cost had been on the accident that you had in Navia. What, put it differently, what would the cash cost be if Navia would have worked normally?
Jose, regarding the last question and the impact that we had, is what we said. We have an impact of 12,000 tons that we could not produce. This has basically an impact on the cost dilutions, which it was in the range of the 4 to 4.5 euros per ton. That was the impact in the December cash cost.
And regarding the breakdown of the cash cost between Navia and Pontevedra, Jose, if you let me get back to you and send you an email with the breakdown, because I don't have those numbers in front of me right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We currently have no further questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think the best is that in order we have transparency, we ask those two pending questions. Maybe on the website, okay? Then everybody can have access.
Absolutely.
To it, okay?
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.